Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. A number of you have been calling the 800 number for one of our free booklets. I just wanted to say again, there is a book, a booklet called Give to God, What is God's? By Peter Herbeck. There is a booklet, Good News of the Eucharist, by Ralph Martin. And there is a booklet, What Am I Living For? By Sister Ann Shields. There will soon be a new booklet on perseverance, but it won't be ready yet for another month. But any of those three booklets you are welcome to at no cost, simply by calling the 800 number or by writing to Food for the Journey. The number and the address are given at the end of the program. Well, here we are, just 2 days before the beginning of Lent. And I want to say something about that today. Not because I want to anticipate Lent 2 days early in the sense of I want to start today, but because I think so often as Catholics we come to Ash Wednesday and we say, oh yes, Lent. What am I going to do? What am I going to sacrifice? Because it's somehow ingrained in us to a certain degree that Lent is a time for examining our conscience. Lent is a time for penance in preparation for Easter. So there's a certain level of things that are ingrained in us. And yet, I don't think that as adults living an adult life of faith, we've ever really gone to the foundation of why we do penance. And throughout this week, I'm going to be talking about that, why we do penance and what kind of penance we ought to be doing, for what reason. Let's today take a look at the readings that the Church gives us, because these readings are given just a couple of days before the beginning of Lent, and they're well worth our reflection. The first one is from the book of Ecclesiasticus that we have been reading over the last few weeks. This is a section from chapter 17, verses 20 to 28. To those who repent, God permits return, and he encourages those who were losing hope. Return to the Lord and leave sin behind. Plead before his face and lessen your offense. Come back to the Most High. Turn away from wickedness. Hold in abhorrence all that is foul. Who will praise the Most High in Sheol, if the living do not do so by giving glory to him? To the dead, as to those who do not exist, praise is unknown. Only those with life and health can praise the Lord. How great is the mercy of the Lord, his pardon on all those who turn towards him. It's important during Lent, it's important in this season that we face our sin head on and that we repent for it. We spend our lives so much denying or rationalizing or excusing our sin. I heard some commercial, and I don't even know for what anymore, but one line in the commercial was, denial is not a river in Egypt. So often, I think, what we do is we deny so much that, in a sense, within our own framework, it isn't real. It doesn't exist. If I deny it, if I reject it, if I turn away from it enough, and that's, in a sense, what this commercial was saying. Denial is not a river in Egypt. It's an attitude. It's a way of dealing with reality, which is to turn away from it, just to deny it, that it doesn't exist or it's not as bad as it appears, or I wouldn't have done it if so-and-so hadn't done such-and-such, and therefore all the blame is on him or her. That's just the way we think. It's something out of our childhood. It's how a child thinks. And Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish ways. I put away childish thoughts. And in part, a childish way of thinking is to try and absolve oneself of any responsibility, of trying to get away from it. And yet, if even part of the fault is yours, take responsibility for your part. Don't excuse yourself. Don't blame somebody else. Look squarely in the face of your sin. As I've often said on this program, Father Michael Scanlon says how important it is to say, yep, I did it. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I have found so often when two people are involved in a difficulty and each is blaming the other, if you can be humble enough and mature enough to look at your part and take responsibility for that part, it often breaks down any kind of barrier, and the other person is very quick to respond. Not always. Sometimes you have to stand out there just taking responsibility for your part. But oftentimes, the other will respond. So we need to look at our sin. And it's even worse now, 2 days before Lent begins, to say, what's my predominant sin? What's the root of my sin? Not so I can just become introspective and condemn myself. That's not the point. The point is to get free. But oftentimes, if we don't recognize what the root of our sin is, we just keep committing it over and over and over again, and then we get discouraged. So it's worthwhile knowing that the Lord will forgive us, knowing that he wants to encourage us, knowing that he waits for us, as Ecclesiasticus says. It's a time to say, oh, there's my main sin. That's what I do most of the time, and it leads to other sins. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. He'll show you. Look at the gospel for today, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 27. Jesus was setting out on a journey when a man ran up, knelt before him, and put this question to him, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Very good question for you to ask the Lord in preparation for Lent. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Must have been a little flattery in there on the part of the young man who came up to him. "You know the commandments. You must not kill. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not bring false witness. You must not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Master, I have kept all these things from my earliest days." Jesus looked steadily at him and loved him. And he said, "There is one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you own, give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But his face fell at these words, and he went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. What causes you to be, so to speak, tied down to the earth, not able to run after the Lord, not able to follow him freely? What is it that causes you to cling to this world in a way that God doesn't want you to? It might not be sin directly, it might be certain attachments. What is it that you're so attached to that is more important to you than the Lord? And be honest with yourself. I hear many people say, oh, nothing's more important to the Lord, but their actions say something else. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded by these words, but Jesus insisted, my children, he said to them, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were more astonished than ever. In that case, they said to one another, who can be saved? Jesus gazed at them. For men, he said, it is impossible, but not for God, because everything is possible for God. Jesus is not denouncing rich people. Hear me on that. Wealth in itself is neither good nor bad. It can be a tremendous blessing from God, or it can be a curse. If we receive wealth and riches because of our hard work or inheritance or whatever, we receive many riches in this life, we need to hold them loosely in our hands and say, God, you have given me this. How would you have me use it for your kingdom? Then we're detached. Then we're traveling light, so to speak. And we can hear the Lord and follow him. But there are many, many wealthy people in this world who have all kinds of riches and are terrified they're going to lose them. They cling to them. They examine everything every day. They count their money. They check their stocks every day. They go down to the bank and check their lockbox. They're in a certain way just possessed by the accumulation of riches and acquiring more and more and more because they think this is what security is. Those are the people that God is talking about, the people who will not meet the needs of the poor, the people who will not give away to those who are more in need. That's who God's talking about. Scriptures today hold out to us the themes of looking at the internal things that keep us from spiritual wealth and repenting for them, all that I said in the beginning of this program, and coming back to the Lord. But it also has to do with material possessions. What do we do with what we have been given? Scripture tells us very clearly in this gospel to look at the Ten Commandments. They will be a help to us in answering these questions. I encourage you before Lent, read the Catechism on the Ten Commandments. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.